you were here last Sunday, you remember that we began this message in the book of Exodus, and we began talking about the life of a man by the name of Moses, and how God had met Moses on the backside of the desert, and how God had begun to speak to Moses through a burning bush. That bush would burn, and that bush would not consume. It would still be a bush. And yet God was using that bush as an instrument. I was thinking about that as well this week, that it's amazing the people and things and, I guess, items that God spoke through in the Bible. He spoke through a bush. And you think about that. If God will speak through a bush that has absolutely no eternal value, think about what He wants to do through you and me. A bush is not created in the image of God. You are, and I am, created in the image of God. I remember another Bible story of God speaking through a donkey. I'll just leave that one there. I remember another verse in the Bible that says something to this nature, that if you don't speak, the rocks will cry out. Look, God has so much in store for each of us. God has people that He has placed in your life, in my life, that we need to be a voice. John the Baptist said, I am a voice crying in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. And I hope and pray that God will allow me to have this voice however long He wants me to stay on the face of this earth, and that my voice would always honor and glorify God. I don't want a rock to cry out before me. I don't want a donkey to speak before me. I don't want a bush to speak before me. When God summons us to speak for His honor and glory, may we be willing to speak for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we looked at that last week, and we talked about the view of God that we need to have, the proper view of God. And I gave you this thought: what is our view of God? When you think of God, what do you think of? How do you think of God? How big is God? I found this week. The world is not divided into people who worship and people who don't. You will either worship something that will distort your life, or you will worship someone that will transform your life. And that someone is the Lord Jesus Christ. That someone is the God of the universe. That someone is the God who spoke this world into existence. That someone is the God who has given us His Word in 39 Old Testament books and 27 New Testament books. And it's inspired and it's infallible. It's God-breathed. It has no errors. It has stood the test of time. It has stood the test of dictators. It has stood the test of people that have wanted to burn it and banish it. And I'm so thankful that we have today a copy of the Word of God. And as you open the Word of God, as Brother Kevin said on Wednesday night, you're opening the mind of God. And if you want to know more about God and you want to worship God, you must do it through His Word. What is your view of God? You're worshiping something or someone that's either distorting or transforming. I submit to you today that I want to be transformed by the renewing of my mind, that I may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that can be the same for each and every one of us, and it ought to be. What is our view of God? What is my view of God? What is your view of God? A view of God must come from His Word, and we talked about that last week. A low view of God is to view up a whole lot with greater efficiency than if we had a high view of God. The quote said that 10,000 temporal problems could come into our life and it would mean nothing. Why? Because our God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing our God cannot do. That is your God if you're saved today. And by the way, you will stand before Him one day. And I will stand before Him one day, and I will either be judged for my sin or I'll be judged for my works. Which one would you rather be judged for? Let me tell you, if you're judged for your sin, you will go to hell forever. There will be no do-overs if you're at the great white throne judgment. If you're judged for your works, you'll be in heaven for all eternity. the judgment seat of Christ. And the decision between those two judgments is yours. It's mine. I praise God today that He's given us a plan of salvation. He's given us a free will. Amen? Amen for the free will? Hey, we're not Calvinistic. We have a free will. God did not say to this young lady, you're going to go to heaven. That's my daughter. Brother Ramon. And God did not say to this man, you're going to hell. You have no choice in the matter. For whosoever will may come. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You have a whosoever God. And so I'm thankful for that. Have a view of God that is reverential. Yes, we'll talk about that. But He is a God that gives us a free will. And then we began to talk about, and this is where we kind of ended the message, really, was within the outline. And we said, what does worship do? And we gave number one. Number one, we said worship brings us into the presence of God. God had already assured Moses of His presence. In the text from last week, we don't have time to go back to that, but it's Exodus chapter 3 and 4. We might be there at the end of the hours, but stay with me for right now. God had promised Moses, when you go before Pharaoh, I'm going with you. By the way, that's a promise for us today. Hebrews chapter 13, I believe in verse number 5, He talks about never leaving us and never forsaking us. But as we worship God, we enter the presence of God. And when we enter the presence of God, as they did and they worshiped, it said there in Exodus chapter 4 that they bowed their heads. We talked about that last week, if you remember, within some cultures, and how out of honor and respect there is a bowed head. Turn with me quickly in your Bible to Genesis chapter 3. While worship brings us into the presence of God, I believe that the Lord is emphasizing this in this message. It's not my message, but the message for today from the Lord. I truly believe that He has worked on me throughout the week, and even in last night, and even this morning. While worship brings us into the presence of God, I want you to see something from the very first couple in the Bible. Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, amen? Man and woman. That's a marriage. You have to make sure and repeat that today. God brought a man and a woman together, and that's a marriage. Nothing else is a marriage. A man and a woman. Look what it says in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Stop right there. Many times over, Adam and Eve had been in the presence of God. Many times over, Adam and Eve had walked and talked with God. Can you imagine? Many times over, they had been in the presence of God in that Garden of Eden where there was no sin. There had never been any iniquity. Perfect. Something happened. The serpent came and beguiled Eve, and Adam was tempted as well, and they both fell. But notice what it says in verse number 8. And Adam and his wife, what's the next word? Hid. Stop right there. They hid from the presence of the Lord. They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. I believe we find something very, very key to worshiping God in the third chapter of the book of Genesis. And that is this. While worship brings us into the presence of God, sin causes us to run from the presence of God or hide from the presence of God. There's no way we're going to be able to worship God if we have the profane, as Ezekiel said, in our life, and we'll come to that. There's no way that we're going to worship God as He wants us to worship Him if we have sin tucked away in our pocket and we're regarding it. Isaiah 66 and verse 18, the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That word regard means, like, if this is sin and I'm just going to keep it right in here and I'm going to regard it, I'm going to keep it hid and I'm going to pull it out whenever I want to sin and do it. And I'll put it back in. I regard iniquity. I regard iniquity. Sin will cause us to run from the presence of God. I wonder today, is that where we are as a church? I don't know. I have to answer to God for myself first. You have to answer to God for yourself. Oh, there's no greater time than to be in the presence of God. There's no greater time than to allow the Lord to have His will and way in our life. But sin will always get in the way. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 22 now, where we read earlier. So number one, we said worship brings us into the presence of God. Number two, as we worship God, we will recognize the difference between right and wrong. As we worship God, we will recognize the difference between right and wrong. In our text that we read a few moments ago, we see in verse number 26, specifically, the Bible says there, they have put no difference between the holy and the profane. In other words, there was no difference between something that was completely against God and something that was completely for God. There was no difference. There was no distinction. The Bible is very clear that as believers, we are to come out from among the world and be separate. There is to be a distinction between our conduct and the conduct of a lost world. And as I worship God, I am going to have an antenna. I remember having an antenna on a television years and years and years ago. I think we had a 12-inch television. When we first got married, 12-inch television. I don't even know if they have such a thing anymore. And it had an antenna on it. And we lived in the Chicago area at the time, and I was finishing Bible college. I really loved basketball. I still love basketball. I definitely don't play it like I played as much as I used to. I don't play it much at all now. Whenever I had an opportunity to maybe catch a Chicago Bulls game, I was really hoping that the weather would be just right. Because no cable, just this kind of rabbit ear type conglomeration. I even got a coat hanger and did the old coat hanger thing. And every once in a while, we would actually get to see a little bit of a game clearly. But most times, there was fuzz all over the screen. I didn't know if Michael Jordan had made a three-point shot or missed a three-point shot. My view, my distinction, my view wasn't very good. You see, when we are worshiping God, we are going to be able to recognize very quickly, is this something that I should be doing, this is something that I should not be doing. What a statement God makes here. There was no difference between the holy people and the unholy people. And again, all I can go by is God's word today and challenge us with this. Is there a difference between you as a believer, if you claim to be a believer, and that one that you are working with? And I'm not saying we're better than them. I'm just saying that we should not be participating in the off-color jokes that they're telling. We should not be looking and look for sure. We should not be looking at the possible inappropriate magazines that they may bring to work. We should not be watching the television programs that they're talking about that have inappropriate behavior between a man and a woman, that condone and promote immorality, and condone and promote adultery, and condone and promote homosexuality. You see, when we're worshiping God and we have a television program come on and something is on there that is not right, quickly we're going to recognize, you know what, I don't need to watch this. That goes off. When we put a movie in, if we're worshiping God and doing what we're supposed to do, and this movie begins to have inappropriate language and for sure begins to take the name of the Lord God in vain, if we're worshiping God, quickly our antenna is going to say, this movie's not for me, out. You know what? Many Christians today are sitting down in front of movie after movie after movie after movie, hearing four-letter words and the name of God in vain, and they're not even fazed by it. one of two options. One, they're not even saved. Yes, that's what I said. They're not even saved. That's one of the only two possibilities, that you can sit in front of that dirt and filth and say you're a Christian. You're not even saved. Or number two, you have quenched the Spirit of God to the point where it doesn't even faze you, and that's a very dangerous place to be. But if we're worshiping God, what do you mean, Pastor, worship? Hey, if you're reading your Bible every day, if you're in this book and you're on your knees and you're wanting to grow in the grace of God, some things in your life that are in your life now, you'll recognize this should not be there. And especially, can I just challenge you that have young people that call you dad or mom? Please, for the sake of your children who are following in your footsteps, that's not really the motivation. Really, it's to please God. But your influence is great. And if you have these entertainment in front of your children and they're soaking it in, what do you think they're going to have in front of them in 10 years? It's going to be 10 times worse. We live in a lewd society. And in many cases, you cannot tell where the Christians are or where the unsaved are. Oh, but when you worship God, God's, and by the way, this isn't about you walking and me walking up and down the streets and trying to figure out who's saved and who's not saved. It's personal. I want to be able to, in my own life, say, this is profane, it goes. This is holy, it stays. I'm talking about my relationship with God. I'm talking about your personal relationship with God. The holy people, the unholy people. How about this? The holy practices or the unholy practices. There was no distinction. There was no difference between the godly and the worldly. The right and the wrong were mixed together, and this was not the way that God intended it. Quickly turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5. Many of you could quote it from memory. But let's read it. Let's look at it together. And in fact, we'll read it together in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. As we enter into the presence of God, we will recognize right away the areas of our life that need improvement. And by God's grace, we can improve. By the strength and filling of the Holy Spirit of God, you can overcome the sin in your life. By the Holy Spirit of God, I can overcome whatever. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. Became very clear because the Apostle Paul stated the way to do it here in verse 17. Therefore, if any man, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself. Today, if you're a Christian, you have been reconciled to God by who? Jesus Christ. There is no reconciliation through the church. Mark it down. There is no reconciliation through the church. Baptist, Methodist, Anglican, Catholic, and really, anyways, we won't go into that. We talked about that a few weeks ago. They have the label of church. Not going to be able to stand before God someday and say, I was a part of the Orthodox Church, I was a part of the Catholic Church, I was a part of the Presbyterian Church. If that's the reason I'm going to heaven, I'm going to be sorely disappointed. My reconciliation, according to the Bible, right here, read God's Word. It'll help bring all of things and clearly into your mind and into your heart. We are reconciled to God by Jesus Christ. That's not the word of the Baptist. It's the word of God. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I remember hearing this as a teenager. If we have any doubt about something, don't do it. You see, that's where when we're worshiping God, we have some discernment. Because, you know, the Bible speaks a lot about the simple and the wise. I don't know where I'm at yet. Some days I think I'm pretty simple still. And that's why I've got to stay in this book every day. Because I can imagine myself doing some pretty stupid things, sorry. I can imagine myself making some pretty bad decisions if I'm basing my decisions on what I want. That's simple, right? If you give a choice between any child and, well, there's a few, maybe not. Most children, if you give a choice between broccoli, Brother Jeff, favorite vegetable, I should have said Brother Jeff, between broccoli and any candy, now I'm sure the most of you kids in here would just love to have a stalk of broccoli. Not many, although I love broccoli now, but I wouldn't have said that as a child. But we know that a steady diet of candy is not good for a child. Broccoli has got a lot of nutrients. So because a child is simple, a child says, I want what tastes better. Right? What tastes better? Green apple Jolly Ranchers taste a lot better than broccoli. Those green M&Ms that you had at your house last night, Miss Joy, they're green, right? You need your greens. Green M&Ms. They taste a lot better than broccoli. Oh, but wait a minute. What's the difference between that and some of the choices that we make? Well, this tastes a lot better than this. See, that's the simple. I don't want to be simple in my thinking, the way I live my life. I want to be wise. And I'm not going to be wise unless I'm in God's Word. I'm going to make a lot of simple decisions that are possibly could lead to a lot of trouble. But again, I got off on a trail. I just remember hearing it over and over again. If there's any question, don't do it. Should I or shouldn't I? I'm not sure what to do. I tell you this, don't. Wait on the Lord and see what God has for you. That can be in every area of our life. Worship is no longer worship when it reflects the culture around us more than the Christ within us. We have a lot that's done today in the name of worship. Ooh, I don't know. If I leave a place that says they're worshiping God and I've never been to a rock concert in my life, but I've seen a few clips of them on television and on videos, and if it looks just like one of those, I don't really know that that's worshiping God. I think it's worshiping the culture around us more than to speak. The leaders of the people, they didn't have a church like we do today. That hadn't happened yet. God hadn't founded the church yet. But in that sense, if you will, the priests have violated my law. They have profaned mine holy things. And again, I today ask for you to continue to pray for the pastoral staff of Anchor Baptist Church, that we would not be guilty of ever leading Anchor Baptist Church to where you don't know if it's profane or holy. That's exactly what was happening here. They were being led this way. Neither have they showed the difference between the unclean and the clean. They have hid their eyes from my Sabbath, and I am profaned among them. For princes in the midst thereof are like wolves, ravening the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. 28. Thus saith the Lord, saying, thus saith the Lord, when the Lord hath not spoken. Well, God said this when God hadn't said that at all. Folks, aren't you glad today? There's no question about what God said. It's right here. This is what God said. This is what God said. This is what God said about going to heaven. How do we know we're going to heaven? See what God said about it. Hey, how do we have the church set up? Let's see what God said about it. How do we know how to conduct ourselves as husbands and men and or ladies and wives or teenagers? Or how do we live this Christian life? Let's see what God said about it. That's why you need to pray that anything that is from this pulpit is what God said. And if it bothers you and it's what God said, take it up with God. And please do. Wouldn't it be great if in 2019 we all got right with God? What are you saying, Pastor? We're not right with God? I'm saying everyone in this room needs to get closer to God. You cannot get closer to God with sin that you're regarding. I'm a Sunday Christian. The rest of the week, I do my own thing. You're not going to get very close to God. Some of us in 2019 need to recognize that God is our provider. I was listening to some preaching today, and the preacher said that his dad, this would have been back in the 50s, I guess, was working for the JCPenney Company. And they had, on Sundays, the JCPenney Company was closed. And they decided back in, I guess it was the 50s, I don't know, I'm just going on what I heard today quickly. They decided, you know what we're going to do? We're going to open up from 1 to 5 on Sundays. And this pastor's dad said, well, I won't be able to continue working here because I don't work on Sundays. He left that job and went to another job. Some of us in 2019 need to realize who our provider is. He went to that next job. It was also a retail position. And what do you know? They said, you know what we're going to do, sir? We're going to start being open on Sundays from 1 to 5. Again, this is the time when everything was rolled up on Sundays. And you know why they were only going to be open from 1 to 5 on Sunday? Because everybody was at church in the morning and at church at night. And so they only opened from 1 to 5. I heard that and I'm like, man, that's like foreign news in 2019. I'm sorry. And he said, you know what? If you're going to be open from 1 to 5 on Sunday, I can't work for you either. I don't work on Sundays. Is God our provider or is he not? God's our provider. And I still believe that we need to have revival. I need to have revival, and you need to have revival. And I still believe Matthew 6:33 is a promise to claim. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Man, we need a revival of recognizing who is our provider. Number three, we worship God with reverence and godly fear. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. Got to speed this up. Hebrews chapter 12. Titus, Philemon, Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 28, the Bible says, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. That word reverence means with downcast eyes and a bowed head. The fact that God would allow someone like me to worship him is absolutely amazing. I am a sinner, saved by grace. God wants my worship. Wow. God, who's holy, wants my worship. When Peter recognized who Christ was on the shore of Galilee, the Bible says in Luke chapter 5 and verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. When Isaiah, we talked about it last week, saw the Lord sitting on his throne, he said in Isaiah 6 and 5, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King." I see God for who he is. I begin to recognize the difference between the holy and the profane. And when I see God for who he is, I reverence him and I have a godly fear for him. Where has the fear of God gone? I'm not talking in the unsaved. I'm talking to the church. Where is the fear of God? I submit to you that it is low today. And I don't mean that we're scared of God. I mean to this degree that we don't want our life in any way to bring shame to the name of Christ. I don't want my conduct, I don't want my character, I don't want what I do when no one else is watching to bring shame to the name of Christ. But I submit to you that too many of God's people, when they think no one is looking, they're bringing great shame because God is looking. Saying that for my own benefit, I'm saying that as a voice for the Lord. I need more of that. You need more of that. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse number 15, the Bible says, "And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm." God is strong enough today. God is holy today. God deserves my reverence today. Not only in my speech, but in my conduct. In order to lose the fear of God, we had to change the God we feared. We live in a land of a little God. We need a revival of who God is. Who is God? Folks, let's not treat God like some religions treat God. God is our Father. We are not in a religion here. If you're in a religion, if you want religion, you've come to the wrong place. We're here to have a relationship with a holy God. And he says, "I would that thou wert cold or hot, but not lukewarm." Oh, I want to have in 2019 a level of worship for God. It brings honor and glory to him. To do that, I'm going to have to get rid of some things in my life. I'm going to have to say no to the flesh and yes to the spirit. Number four, when we worship God, we are equipped to do the work of God. Let's go serve God in 2019. I believe that's a great, great admonition. It is, by the way. We need to serve God. In fact, what are you doing to serve God? In what area do you serve God? But I'll submit to you, my service for God will only go as far as my worship of God. Possibly the reason why we're lacking servants and we need more laborers is because we need more worship. Do you not agree with me? You don't have to nod your head or even grunt or say anything, because if you don't agree with me, that's fine. But if we got into the presence of God on a regular basis, I don't think hell could stop us from serving God. In other words, I don't think trials could stop us from serving God. I'm going to serve God because I've been in the presence of God. I'm going to serve God because I recognize that my life is a vessel for his honor and glory, and I've only got 70, 80 years or however many years, and I've already spent enough time on myself, and I want to spend some time serving the Lord. I'm not first, but because I've been in the presence of a holy God. times in my life I have served God first and then tried to worship God after. It doesn't work so good. You see, when I'm worshiping God and then serving God, even if the results are not there, it doesn't matter. Because I'm not serving God for results. I'm serving God from my worship. I'm serving God from realizing, wow, God wants me to do something for Him. I sense that in the presence and in the worship of God. God prepared Moses for 40 years. Think of it. He was preparing him to do his greatest work, and it took 40 years. He was 40 years taking care of those sheep, but he was preparing him for what he was preparing him to do. Did you catch that? He was preparing Moses for what he was preparing Moses to do. I feel like sometimes 18 and a half years of pastoring, the flesh sometimes says, what has God done? I don't know what God is doing, but I know this. God is preparing me for what He is preparing me to do. God's done so much in the last 18 and a half years, by the way. It's just that old flesh that creeps up sometime and wants to have all these material things that aren't going to be here when we go to heaven anyway. If God gives material things to us and we can use for tools to serve Him, fine. I'm just saying, many times those things get in the way of what means the most, and that is the eternal things. That is someone getting assurance of their salvation. That is someone bowing their head and trusting Christ as Savior. That is people following the Lord in believers' baptism. That is people being discipled. That is marriages getting right with God and putting away all the petty pride of marital problems and saying, I want to be the husband God wants me to be and the wife God wants me to be. And that is seeing our youth grow up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and do whatever God has for their life. If you were not here on Wednesday night, please, you'll have to turn the volume really high to hear it, because our soundboard wasn't working properly on Wednesday night. But Brother Kevin stood up here and preached a powerful message on the subject of prayer, and everyone needs to hear it. I remember when that young man was running around our backyard making videos. I still have a t-shirt in my chest of drawers. It says just listen on the front of it. On the back of it, there's a Bible verse. God's done great and mighty things. He's not done yet. I want to get closer to God. I want to know more of what God has. It's not going to happen with one hand on the world. I've got to have no hands on the world. We are equipped to do the work of God. Unconscious and conscious preparation. Conscious preparation could be summed up in what we choose. Are you conscious still? I know it's getting late. Some of you are about to be unconscious on me. Conscious preparation are choices we make to do the work of God. Everyone has the same opportunity to choose to read His Word every day, correct? And even when your eyes are failing you, and they do. In fact, I'm not even going to go there. I really have to have a lot of light now. I'm 45, but I have to have a lot of light now to read the Bible. Thank the Lord, there's a lot of audio that we can listen to of the Bible. Okay? I'm just saying there are conscious things that we choose. Everybody has the opportunity to choose to come to church. Apart from being in the hospital or having a major illness, you have a conscious decision on Sunday to be in church. Amen? Aren't you glad you don't live in a country where they tell you you can't go to church anymore? I think that would really help some of us, though. That's what helped Israel, wasn't it? That's what helped the early church, persecution. We live in a country where we can consciously choose to be with believers on the Lord's Day. What a blessing. We have that freedom. Unconscious preparation, we have no choice in the matter. Moses had no choice in the matter of going the backside of the desert. That was the unconscious preparation that God moved him. God is sovereign. Amen? He's sovereign. God is preparing us for what he has prepared for us to do. God takes the ordinary and makes them valuable. God takes the insignificant and makes them significant. God takes the weak and makes them strong. Unconscious preparation. See, when we worship God, we start to get equipped for the work of God. It's kind of like going out into battle in 2019 and leaving your weapons in the barracks. Friend of mine's son just graduated from Marine boot camp. I went to college with this friend of mine, really good friend of mine from the state of Michigan as well. So many good things come out of Michigan. Right, Pastor Nick? And he came out of Michigan. We're from the same, he's from Belleville, actually. This friend of mine. His son just graduated from the Marine Corps. The boot camp, whatever it's called. Can you imagine a soldier going out to battle? Got a big battle today. Today we're on the front lines. But be ready. We're going to head out at such and such a time. A soldier leaving his rifle or his weapon. Barracks. Wow. That's no good. That's not going to get the job done. I submit to you that many times you go out to battle. We're living in a battle, folks. It is not a playground. We go out into battle. It's okay, you've heard. That's okay, right here. We've all heard people cough. We're living in a battle, and we go out to battle, and we leave our weapons. We leave our battle behind. Or we leave our sword behind, excuse me. We don't even put our armor on. We just run out to do battle and the armor's not there. It's no wonder. It's no wonder many times in my life, I'm talking about me right now, it's no wonder many times in my life I've faced a certain battle and quickly been defeated. Why? No armor, no sword. Not God's fault. The unconscious preparation is preparing us. God is the God of the past, the God of the present, and the God of the future. Quickly turn to Exodus chapter 3. Final approach here. Exodus chapter 3. I'll show you this quickly. Exodus chapter 3. Oh, not Genesis chapter 3. That's where I was earlier. Exodus chapter 3. Here we go. Verse number 6. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. This is that confrontation that we started the message with last Sunday. We're ending it with today. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. That refers to the past. Verse 7, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. This refers to the present. Verse number 10. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. This refers to the future. We have a God who is always advancing. We have a God who is always preparing. We have a God who knows, as I said in Sunday school earlier, knows the end from the beginning. What a mighty God we have the privilege of serving. And this God wants my worship. This God wants your worship. And when we come into his presence, my whole view of life changes. Verse 12. And he said, certainly I will be with thee. I love these words. Certainly I will be with thee. Certainly I will be with thee. Oh, grab that church. Certainly I will be with thee. It's not just for Moses and Aaron. It's for you today. Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever. This is my memorial unto all generations. Moses asked God, Who are you? And his answer was, I am the God of your salvation. If you're not saved today, if you don't know Christ as Savior, Jesus is your salvation. When we have a vision of who God is, then whatever comes, we realize that the God we know is greater than anything or anyone that will ever touch our lives. How's your worship today? Is there some sin you've been regarding? I regard iniquity in my heart, and the Lord will not hear me. Why don't you bring it to the Lord today? You have to bring it to me. We confess our sin. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all